Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Sarah.
This is Jenna. We're from Name 3 Songs, and today we're getting candid with Spider. She's a London-based artist making a name for herself with loud, feminist, punk, and alternative music, and her EP, An Object of Desire, just dropped on February 23rd.
So we're getting candid with Spider about how she uses her music as an outlet for expression, specifically to get out her feminist rage, as well as how more POC and female voices are currently taking over alternative music. And my favorite thing that we talk about today is how she grew up in fandom culture and how that left an impact on her as an artist and how she operates. And it's just like so fun talking about fangirl stuff with her. So let's go get candid with Spider.
Hi, Spider. Welcome to the show. We're excited to have you today.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me. This is really cool.
We are excited. There's lots of fun stuff for us to dig into. But to kick it off, it's a question that I think is integral to a lot of us who have grown up in the music world, which is that we have these key moments in our relationship to music that kind of like really form who we are as people and our journey through lives. And I'm curious for you if there is a moment where you felt like, I have to be doing music. Like, this is what I have to be doing with my life.
Definitely. And I will just say, like, Tumblr. definitely Tumblr. You know, I think, like, obviously, I think for everybody, music has always kind of existed. And just like in our general existence, music is always there. But I think it's like a difference between music always being there and then music being like a like an actual like force in your life. And I think when I actually found the internet and I found Tumblr and like, you know, the quote unquote, like the Tumblr artists, like, you know, our era, like our Halsey's and Marina and the Diamonds and Lana Del Rey, like 5 Seconds, Summer, One Direction, like that, like when I found like fandom culture, I think I was like, I don't know, something in my head clicked with music like it kind of hadn't before, I think. And I was kind of like, I want to be like a part of like whatever this is.
In thinking like that, did that make you want to go out of your way and be like, okay, like I'm going to teach myself how to play music, I'm going to teach myself how to sing, I'm going to teach myself how to songwrite? Or were you already kind of like laying that down beforehand without maybe even realizing it, that you wanted to like do singing and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think I was definitely kind of like laying down the foundations for that. I don't come from like a very like creative family, but I think I've always just kind of gravitated towards stuff like that anyway. So I think like by the time like I found, you know, my beloved Tumblr artist, I was already kind of starting to like write little things and like write little songs and stuff. I remember like one really big pivotal moment for me was like finding Halsey's first album, Badlands, because I'm from Ireland. And like at the time, this is like 2014. It's like all the music on the radio is very like much like acoustic guitars, like white boys and acoustic guitars. And you know, the genre of like pained white boys singing about heartbreak, like with the rough. You know what I mean? We just had so much of that. And then like I heard Halsey and like the production in it was so like, I just remember listening to him being like, that's not an acoustic guitar and I don't know what that is, but how did they do that? And I was just like obsessed with like every sound I was hearing, because it wasn't anything, it was not real instruments. And I loved that. And I think that was definitely my, like, that's when I really, like, sunk my teeth into it. And I was like, yeah, like, I need to teach myself how to produce. So I was just, like, on YouTube all the time, like, typing in, like, Halsey type beat, how to produce, like, like stuff like that.
No, that's honestly so cool. And I think, like, the other half of it, too, is, like, you know, having the true appreciation and love for music. And then the other half being the fandom aspect. And so I'm curious for you, like, do you feel like because you were so involved in fandom when you were growing up that it kind of informs the way that you operate as an artist?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I kind of feel like I had, like, a cheat code in a way, like, honestly, because I think, like, it's different when, like, you've been the consumer and now you're trying to be like, you know, the product. Now it's like when you're so in it, it's like you just kind of know. It's nearly like I kind of felt like I knew what to do, what not to do. You know, I literally don't know how to explain it, but I think it's just that thing of like when you're in it and then like you kind of like you're just able to like look at music and like kind of like discovery of music in such a different way. Yeah. I think it made me really appreciate things like how the artists like would interact with their fan base. Because one thing I really loved about the artists I love was how intentional they were with us, the fandom, and how like present they were. And you know, even if they were mysterious, like the one place where they weren't mysterious with their fan base, like they weren't mysterious with the people who actually loved them. I feel like I've really taken that with like how I try to communicate with people who do listen to my music. Like I want to like be present. I do not really care about being mysterious or trying to like upkeep, you know, some type of like, oh, but you don't know me. Like, yeah, you do. I put it, I'm literally like being so, I'm putting everything in like
teenager on Tumblr. Yeah.
Yeah, we do know everything. Yeah, I've really like taken that. And that's one of the things like I really love about like the connection between fandom and artists and stuff. Yeah. It's like the intimacy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of half the cheat code, honestly. It's just like treating like the people listen to your music as like actual people.
Yeah. No, 100%. Definitely. No, I think you've made a lot of really good points in that regard, because like it's really interesting seeing artists nowadays now with like how social media has shifted and like how accessible artists can be, when like you can tell that an artist was never part of fandom versus like when an artist has been. And it's really interesting to watch, because I think this is a very new kind of thing that's happening, where most musicians are like fans of music, but they're not like fandom fans. And I feel like we're seeing a lot more artists who are like really comfortable being like, yeah, I was obsessed with XYZ, and like that makes me a better artist because I understand what fans want from me and like how to put out music in a way where like fans feel like I get them. Because especially with like your music having like such specific messages in it that like are really relatable to a lot of people, I feel like if you didn't get the whole fandom aspect, I feel like there could be that thing where they're like, does she mean it? Whereas like, since you get it, they're like, oh, we know she means it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly that. Like, I think what you're saying is so true. Like that we're seeing kind of like a new, like, I feel like generation of artists who were like, just like, deep in the fandom and now we get to like actually make stuff that we hope that we can create a community around ourselves and it's like, yeah, like you make a valid point. I've never thought about the other artists who didn't really interact with that space much, because for me it's like literally like the only way I've ever interacted with music was just like diehard obsession, like fandom. So I just can't even, I can't like,
it's more fun that
conceptualize way. Yeah, like I genuinely can't conceptualize like engaging with anything in a lukewarm like sane way. So I'm just like,
you know, it's like when you meet someone and they like never go to concerts and they only ever listen to the Chainsmokers and you're like, are you okay?
Like, ooh, like it's like, this is culture, this is like, you know.
Oh my gosh. So in thinking of releasing music, you have your EP An Object of Desire out as of February 23rd. What do you feel like this collection of songs represents to you as compared to previous music that you've released?
I feel like every artist has this like, it's the most personal thing I've ever made. This is like really like, but like, I think I just went to like a place that was kind of scary for me. I think, you know, there's things I talk about in like my older music or like the EP I put out like a while ago where I'm talking about like my family dynamic or just like, you know, depression or mental health. And those things to me are kind of like talking about the weather, honestly. I don't really, it's not like as intimidating, I guess. But like talking about like my exploration and relationship with like intimacy or like sexuality or just like, you know, encounter with like feeling objectified, like as someone that's not in like, you know, just someone in like a female body. Like that's like something that like while I was making it, I was kind of like, I'm really writing this right now. Like, I'm really like, I remember like I would be like writing some lyrics and I'd be like, you know, you're going to put this out, right? And I'd be like, that's going to be an interest. That's going to be interesting. Because also I grew up in like quite a religious environment. So conversations about any of that was not welcomed. Like when I was writing it, it was literally me like genuinely like asking myself the questions, and like facing the emotions. It's kind of like, when you're asking yourself the questions like in front of people, you know, kind of that type of thing. Like I don't think I've done that before.
It's almost like you're working through it at the same time as you're giving it to people. For them to also see.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like, it's weird. I don't know. Like I was saying this to a friend. I was just kind of like, I feel weird that people are going to know that like I like think about this stuff. It's like weird. Like it's like, I don't at all. Like, you know?
On the other hand, that must be really empowering too, especially growing up in such a religious background where these things aren't spoken about, to have reached the point where, number one, you're willing to have the conversation with yourself, but there's also that part of you that, like, even though you're a little scared about it, you're still like, no, I want to put this out there because other people might also be struggling with having these conversations. Yeah. So I'm going to open the floor for them by being like, well, if I can do it, I'm sure you can.
Yeah, no, so true. I think, like, I was really excited to put it out because I was also kind of like, I personally just didn't feel like anyone else was talking about this in that way, because I feel like there's, like, a lot of songs about sex and there's a lot of songs about, you know, like, being intimate with, like, someone that you like or whatever. There's like a lot of media about it, but, like, there's just certain aspects of it that I felt like people weren't, like, talking about. Like, what happens when you thought you'd enjoy it and then you don't?
Yeah.
Like, what happens then? And why didn't you enjoy it? Like, why? And, like, you know, the first time you get, you feel objectified, like, but don't you want to be desired? So where's the line then? Yeah. And I was just kind of like, you know, I was kind of like, what's going on? Like, no one's talking about this.
No, it's, or, like, it's asking, true. You know? It's true. I mean, like, as far as mainstream conversations go, a lot of people are not talking about it. And I think, like, this is a subject that we've covered a lot on our podcast, of talking about sexualization and talking about objectification and talking about where purity culture and, like, religion comes into a lot of this, because there's the whole virgin whore complex of, like, you can either be desired or you can be valuable and you can't be both. Mm-hmm. And then this also lays into pop culture, because you have pop stars being over-sexualized or being criticized for being too sexual. So for you as an artist, like, in your artistry and, like, in your visuals, do you feel like you've experienced an aspect of this, like, people consuming you in a way that is maybe, like, over-sexualization?
That's a really good question. I feel like I'm not, I don't know, I feel like I have a very, like, most of my fans or, like, the people who listen to my music, there's not a lot of men in there. Like, there's not a lot of people that I would think would sexualize me in there.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm still pretty, like, underground, still pretty, like, you know, building my bases and building my foundation and stuff. So I feel like I haven't gotten to the stage yet where, like, there's so many eyes on me that, like, you know, I'm bound to be sexualized yet. Yeah. But I do remember there was a time I was, like, I think it was, like, my second single as well. So this was, like, early. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, making a TikTok about it. And basically I like, DIY'd the, like, cover for it. And I was, like, smashing a bunch of cake into my face because it was, like, a... I was trying to, you know, I was in my DIY bag, I was being creative, and I remember there was, like, a comment from, like, just, like, some guy on TikTok that I knew followed me from, like, a previous, like, song that had kind of blown up on there, and he kind of made, like, a weird comment, kind of, like, commented, like, oh, like, good girl, and I was kind of like, this,
excuse what? Me,
and I was kind of like, I don't think about it often, but the times I do think about it, I'm always kind of like, that made me feel a bit uncomfy. And, like, I think it was, like, even though it's a very small interaction, I think it was probably the first time I kind of experienced, like, you know, external eyes on me looking at me in a way. It was really weird because it's like, I don't know this person. I haven't had an interaction with them.
Yeah, it's just a person.
But they're, like, seeing me on the internet.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's a really interesting point, because I feel like most people that live in female bodies, like, the second you hit puberty, or even honestly before that, it's like there's men, like, leering on the streets, like, people are being creepy everywhere. But, like, I feel like when it comes to putting yourself out there as an artist, or, like, honestly, even just, like, people on the internet trying to make any sort of content, it's like the second you put yourself out there and you're like, okay, I want to be perceived as, like, a public figure to some extent, like, there are just people on the internet that are like, okay, well, you've given me access to you, so therefore now I can comment on, like, your body, your appearance, like, all of these things, and they feel like there's some sort of ownership over you. And it's just it's really interesting, just, like, in conjunction, like, with the themes of this EP, where it's like thinking about this deeply, where it's like, okay, I want people to hear my message, I want them to hear this, but then also there's just always going to be people on the internet who are like, oh, well, you're doing something that I view as sexual, whether that be sexual to you or not, and therefore I'm going to react and respond to this. And so it's like, no matter how underground you are, like, if a video pops off, you have no control over what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You really don't. And it's like, it's weird because I feel like I've even experienced, like, people getting mad at me because I'm not desirable, because they feel like I'm not. And I'm like, well, what do y'all want from me then? Because it's like, I put up, like, you know, on TikTok, you can do, like, using, like, photos now instead of doing videos or whatever. Yeah. I had these pictures that, like, my friend just took of me. I was, like, in a cute little bikini top and a miniskirt. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's my rock star uniform. Yeah. And, like, I think, I don't know, I was just, like, promoting my song and talking about how, like, I left my, you know, my Catholic home to go, like, make music and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had my arms up and I hadn't shaved my armpits. And the amount of men in there who were really mad at me, really angry at me for not shaving my armpits. And they were like, I had this one comment being like, go back to your Catholic home with your bad music and hairy armpits. And it's like, why do y'all care about my armpits so much? Like, it's like, and I was kind of like, well, you're okay. So you're mad that I'm hairy, but you don't like the music. So I don't understand what you really want.
Also, they're giving you their time. So they purely do care.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just,
And also, there were like accounts like also saving the photos. So I was like, so you're saving it?
Yeah.
To do what with? But oh, you don't like.
Well, it's,
It was just like really weird. Well, thing, like it was just like.
It's a thing like Jenna said with like the whole virgin whore complex of like, oh, like you can either desire you or respect you, but there can't be both.
Yeah.
But then when there's this middle ground of like, oh, I feel like I should desire you, but something about you is undesirable. Then now I'm going to be mad about
it. Suddenly it's my fault.
Yeah, so it's like, it's all just.
Literally.
It's all just exerting control and power. That's essentially what it is.
It is. Or it's like, honestly, someone made a good point. Someone else in the comments was kind of like, I think some of them are like attracted to it and they're mad that they're attracted to it. So just projecting on you.
Yeah.
And I was like, so what? Now it's my fault that I'm hot now. Like, I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. Like, yeah, that was a very exhausting week.
Yeah, sure. No, understandably. I mean, I feel like kind of what you just said of people getting mad about something. And it's like, clearly, if somebody's mad about something, it's because it's resonating with them in a way that they don't want to acknowledge. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of your songs have topics like this. And so in thinking about, you know, I've seen you posting like you want to make like political rock music or you want to make feminist punk music. And even like with our podcast, sometimes it's so easy for us to get like so just angry and mad at people who are like, there's people who are just never going to get it, who don't want to change their minds. But then at the same time, like sometimes you have to be willing to like have difficult conversations in order to change people's minds. And so for you, like, where do you feel like your music kind of lays within all of this?
I don't ever make music to necessarily like anger people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like it's always like I'm feeling frustration. I want to get it out. So I make very like unfiltered art and then I put it out so that other people who are feeling the same way can resonate and find something they can just feel that they can just like use as a tool to feel, you know, because sometimes it's so like hard to access, like even like emotions of anger when you just feel apathetic because we live in such a world where progress is so slow. Mm-hmm. Like it's like if you're not a white man, it's just kind of like hard to do anything. Like you're not allowed to feel any certain type of way about it either.
Yeah.
We're somehow supposed to be grateful to also be alive. It's just like very, this is like, there's just like not a lot of room to like feel any feelings. So like, I feel like whenever I put anything out, it's more like to give people like a tool to feel what's in there, or even like for them to hear it and be like, oh, I can feel like this.
Yeah. And I think also for people who identify with your music, like there's not necessarily like we said not a lot of these conversations are being had in music and in media.
Yeah.
And if they are, I feel like it's starting to emerge like a lot more in like recent years. But it's like without having those conversations, without having representation of those conversations, people from different backgrounds are also just feeling like they've never been heard or seen or like any of that. And so like with your music, I totally understand of like you just wanting to like make something that you're feeling in order for other people to be able to connect with that and have that shared experience.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like if that angers people, it's like, well,
I know that's like a whole, whole other byproduct at this point.
Literally like hit dogs holler or whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Cause it's like, normally it's kind of like, I didn't say names. Like, I don't know every white man on the world. So it's like, you know, if you're getting like angry, it's like, I don't know. But yeah. And I think also it's like, it's something I also welcome cause I don't think art is important unless it's making like someone angry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And sometimes like obviously like all types of art is valid, but like art is art if it evokes some type of emotion. Yeah. Anger is also an emotion. Yeah. So it's just like, yeah.
I think that that's a really good point. And like, when I was reading up on you and stuff, I just found it really interesting of like the stories you're telling and how you had said in some interviews how like people will get mad because they're like, oh, this Black girl's just living her normal life talking about it. She's supposed to be going through like these things that I, as like a white person on the internet, perceive a Black person should go through. Like, why am I relating to her?
Yeah.
And it's as if they're angry that they're relating to somebody that they feel like they should not be able to relate to. And it's like, that's a listener problem, not a musician problem, you know, where it's like, it's just one of those things where it's like, in my mind, if somebody is getting mad about something where it's like, you're trying to just like tell your story or share something that is making like a necessary point, if these people are getting mad about it, it's because you're making them actually think about their twisted bad thoughts about that thing. And so you're challenging them.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so therefore your music is doing like good for everyone.
The job. Like, so like, it's doing what I wanted it to do. Yeah. Like, it's really weird. I think I was talking to like another artist that I'm friends with about this, because we were basically talking about like those pictures that kind of like had a tiny moment and was like infiltrated by a bunch of like, why do you have every armpit and why are you saying all this stuff? Yeah. And like, it was essentially like a lot of like white nationalist accounts that had kind of like flooded the comments stuff. And we're tagging like other accounts, like the whole shebang and everything. And I remember like saying, like, I was promoting a song called Straight Out the Oven that I wrote about just wanting to be desired, like wanting to be hot.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was really confused because it's also like my least political song like ever. And I remember I also put out a song called America's Next Top Model where like I was literally like aiming it at white men and it did not get the response that like a song about me being hot got. So I was saying to them like, I don't understand why like the song about me being hot got the white nationalists like in my mentions other than the song where I was kind of like coming for them. And they made like a really good point about like sometimes it's more intimidating seeing like an artist of color try and like talk to a wider demographic rather than just like you know, minorities, women, other people of color, like queer people. Like, it's nearly more intimidating seeing them push past that space to be like, I'm actually here for everybody. Like, I'm actually wanting the whole world to listen to me. They said something about, you know, them feeling like I should just be talking to like my people. But once I start kind of like going past that, it's like, hey,
that's like not your lane.
That's not your lane. Like, what do you mean you want to be like the biggest rock star in the world? Like,
which you have every right to be. Like,
and anybody from anywhere has the right to be. And rock is typically a genre that is supposed to uplift like oppressed people and people who are on the outskirts of society anyway. So really, in fact, like, it really should be our genre.
I mean, it was. It originally was.
It originally was, but I thought that was just like a very interesting point that like they nearly get more intimidated and more scared when you start being more than just like
absolutely the black, because it challenges you know? Their power and it challenges their worldview and they don't want to give up power. Like, it's everything is just intertwined.
It is, and I think it's also like that thing of like freedom as well. Like, I think it's can be kind of triggering to some people when like you are very much embodying the fact that you are free in terms of freeing your expression, freeing how you want to like present yourself, freeing what you want to say. And they kind of feel like, I don't like that you feel that free. Like, you shouldn't. Which I also think is very interesting, but also like, it's none of my business. But like, you know, but
I mean, like, these men on the internet are aching for control in whatever way they can, like, get it. And they're like, okay, well, if I'm slightly obtuse in who I am online, but, like, loud and angry in the comments, like, I'll personally believe that I hurt their feelings, and therefore that's all that matters, which is, like, really crazy. And like, so you and like, with that, like, you mentioned your song America's Next Top Model, and the music video for that was really cool because of the way you brought like the lyrics and the story of the song to life. And I think like this idea like, you know, the whole like not all men thing and guys being like, what do you mean, like, oh, like, you hate all of us, and it's like, okay, like, while it's not all men, like, any type of man can be a problem. And so having talked about like these like white men like keyboard warriors like coming for you in the comments and stuff, having acted out in this music video, like you kind of having them attack, like yelling at you and like you responding and like all of that, like was that a cathartic kind of emotion to be able to like live that out in real life? Or was it one of those things where you're like, oh, this is maybe a little overwhelming? Or like, what was your emotions in getting to experience that in person, bringing kind of like the internet hate to a real life experience?
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. Like, I think, I don't know, because also all the white dudes on that set were so nice. Yeah. It was so, like,
I felt about so, to yell at you.
Yeah, literally, they were like, can I call you insert this word? I'm really sorry. I was like, yeah, bro, go for it. Like, they were actually quite nice. And like, I remember like this like muscly bodybuilder, like he came into the building. He was like, hey, is this for the music video? I just didn't know. I was like, I don't know how we managed to cast like all like probably like the nicer white guys of the group, but like we did. But yeah, it was very weird. I kind of was low-key like, should I have gotten like a therapist on set or something?
Yeah.
It was kind of overwhelming a bit, but I think I kind of just turned off, which is not healthy.
No,
but like I think it was kind of like I desensitized myself to it, mm-hmm. which is very adjacent to what I have to do online in order to post music. And so I kind of have to just kind of accept that I'm going to get hate from all these dudes and I'm going to have to show up again the next day and do it again.
Yeah.
And I kind of have to just like desensitize myself to it as much as I can. Yeah. And so I guess that was kind of like also like a real life experience of that, of kind of like, I actually just have to keep it pushing and just like, just, you know, try to not internalize it, which is hard.
Yeah.
I think it also helped knowing it was a set.
Yeah.
And like having, you know, breaks and having like normal conversation with these guys like in between, because then it was kind of like, oh yeah, they don't actually hate me.
Yeah.
Like remembering that. But yeah, it was definitely weird, but I think rewarding seeing like the final product, because mm-hmm. it was like so similar to like the treatment that I initially made. Like it was essentially like my 19 page treatment, and I was really happy with it, and I was kind of like, it's worth it, like, you know, like it's worth it to like be able to like translate an experience that I feel kind of happens like internally and like in my head, like onto like a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously like you have your phone and you're like reading comments and stuff, and like you kind of know like the demographic of where the comments are coming from, and like kind of feeling like you're being like shouted by like all these people who kind of like hate the fact that you're just existing all at the same time, kind of happens like up here. And I don't feel like a lot of people like get it if they're not making content in a body that's not white and male. The kind of psychological
trauma
that happens,
it can honestly be scary just like reading comments.
It does, it really does.
Do you feel like you have learned to kind of take breaks to prioritize your mental health?
I think recently I've been realizing that I need to do that. Mm. I used to not. I would read like biographies of like older rock bands, like female fronted rock bands, especially like, and there's this band called Skunk Anansie fronted by this really cool woman called Skin. And I was reading her biography about like all the stuff that she had to put up with like in the 90s while touring and like fronting this rock band. Mm-hmm. And I was reading that and being like, well, if she had to put up with that, I can put up with a couple comments. But I think it's that kind of thing of like, you know, different eras, like different things to have to deal with. Now realizing that I should be putting my mental health first, and I should be having breaks, and like I should be able to like give myself that grace to like step back, and I don't have to be, you know, like strong, independent black woman who doesn't care about the comments of white men. I actually do have feelings. Like I should honor those, you know?
I mean, I think that that's a really healthy and positive realization to have of like, I am a person with feelings. I like don't have to always just be like this strong artist on the internet. Like we talk a lot also on our podcast about like this idea of having an artist persona and how that can be very healthy for artists, where they like, when they are perform, like going on stage and performing, but also like when they're going on the internet and doing this, like for you, be like, this is Spider. And when I'm at home, that is not who I am. And I can disconnect from that a little bit in order to like have a healthier relationship with myself and my music, as well as like with the fandom too, because it's like, these are all such layered things. And if you're on as an artist constantly, like I can only imagine like what that would do for somebody's mental health.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's interesting. I'm still like navigating the path of like, is Spider an alter ego? Is Spider also just me?
Yeah.
Like, you know, because sometimes I really don't feel separate.
Yeah.
And sometimes like I don't really want to either.
Yeah.
Because I guess I never really feel like on as an artist per se. I guess I just sometimes I just kind of feel like I just show up and I just kind of vibe and I, yeah. and then I'm like, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's a very interesting conversation because it really is like alter egos can be so helpful to so many artists. Yeah.
I think like also some artists we've talked to have kind of described it as like stepping into like a larger than life version of themselves, like just being this amplified person through your art.
Yeah, I think I definitely resonate with that. Mm. I definitely resonate with that. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an alter ego, but definitely like more of like a occupying more space.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of like how like, you know, what I say online, how I say it, especially when I'm like promoting my music, you know, I guess like in normal life, if I'm like in the kitchen with my flatmates and not like, yeah, I'm the Black Irish rock star bringing back feminine, but like I'm not saying that to them at breakfast, you know, like I'm not saying that. So I definitely think it is like just a thing of kind of like pulling on those like parts that are just kind of bigger than like you normally are, I guess.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And I feel like this next question like probably will apply to a lot of your music, but in thinking of your song Daisy Chains, you know, you've mentioned it's about the idea of like people kind of taking your kindness as a weakness, and especially for a lot of women this kind of is a universal experience. But do you feel like when you're making music you're trying to reclaim some of your power?
Oh my god, yeah, I feel like most of the songs I make I'm kind of like trying to not reconstruct, but I'm definitely like trying to work through stuff and like process things. I never like to write lyrics for the sake of feeling powerful though. You know, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like sometimes they just come out that way and that's just where I'm at. Mm. And sometimes it's not even about like writing lyrics that I think are powerful. It's just more like, I think sometimes people confuse like anger with power. You know, I mean, me personally, when I'm writing lyrics and like they sound powerful to other people, I was just really angry. You know, it's not that I even felt empowered. I was just really pissed. I was just really angry.
Yeah.
And that's how I decided to let that come across. Sometimes even just like allowing yourself to ask questions is also like kind of just like reclaiming something.
I
like
mean, maybe
you know?
Like part of your identity even. It's like, this is what I've been told growing up, but like, is this true? Is this how I should feel? Is this how I want to feel? Like, and like we talked about earlier, like processing things that you maybe haven't even processed yet.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I definitely think, yeah, I definitely think that's a bit of it. Like maybe it's a thing of like, you know, the path to reclamation rather than like having it happen, but like more of like, you know, like a journey there.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes like when I write, it's more of like a stream of conscious conversation with myself of like, oh, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and this and this and that. But maybe I'm like this because of that. And maybe that's why I did that. Yeah. But I don't think that's why actually. I think it's because of this. So like, yeah, I think maybe like a journey to reclamation, and in some of the songs just like straight up like just like yanking it back.
So in thinking of, you know, you kind of being part of this new generation of, feel like, of alternative artists that are coming up right now, you know, we've talked a little bit ago about how like rock music for like a long time, and especially in the early 2000s, had been like largely dominated by white men. And I feel like right now we're in this era of like, we're seeing a lot of like POC people. We're seeing a lot of like people of color. We're seeing a lot of LGBTQ artists, a lot of women. Why do you feel like we're having this almost like renaissance of like minority rock music that's rising up?
Honestly, I don't know. I just know that I like it.
Right?
Like, I really like it. Like, I don't know what's like shifting within the culture and like what's changed, but I just know it's pretty sick.
Yeah.
I mean, my theory is that like everything is cyclical, I guess. And at the end of the day, like punk and rock and alternative were genres that were supposed to serve oppressed groups, which are women, people of color, like LGBTQ plus community.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to say that, like, white men don't face any type of oppression at all, because there's intersections, obviously, like, with everything. Yeah. But I think, like, it just makes sense that it's kind of coming back to the people it's supposed to serve.
Yeah.
Like, the stories are coming from the people it's supposed to serve, like, with, you know, the concept of, like, things like the Riot Girl movement, the punk movement.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Like, I think also, like, back to the whole fandom thing of it, like, when I think about growing up in, like, an alt-rock kind of scene, primarily it was female fans. Like, I know that there were, like, men around, whatever, but, like, it was primarily a lot of female fans, and I think, like, in growing up with that, and even when you think of, like, Paramore has a huge, like, POC community around them who, like, loves their music, and it's like, okay, these people were growing up watching this stuff.
Black people love Paramore. It's so real. Like, we do. We love Paramore. So real.
But it's like, it's like seeing that and also those groups being accepted by a lot of those bands. I feel like that probably set up a lot of those fans to then be like, oh, the bands are accepting us as their fandom. Why can't we make this music? So I think that might have a role in it as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I knew that, like, when I was, like, you know, 15 and getting really into, like, guitar music and stuff, like, I was kind of looking around being like, so are there any, like, people of color making this music? Or is it just y'all? Like, you know, like, I was just kind of like, So I think, like, that was also, like, a really big factor for me was kind of like, I do eventually, like, I remember saying to myself when I was younger, like, I do eventually want to pursue making alternative music because I just feel like there isn't enough black women in it, and like, aside from the fact that I love that music, there isn't enough black women in it, and I would love to occupy that space. So I'm also, like, wondering whether, like, there was just, like, a lot of us feeling that at the same time, and now we've all just grown up, you know, and now we're just kind of, like, all making art and trying to, like, kind of give, like, the younger versions of ourselves, like, that experience that we did not have, maybe.
Yeah, no, I honestly think that makes a lot of sense. So we have a lot of 2024 ahead of us. What can we expect for you in the coming months?
Well, I am doing a lot more shows than I used to do. Like, I used to be deathly afraid of live performance, honestly. Yeah, I was like, I put that off for, like, for months. Like, genuinely, I think I put it off for, like, 6 months. Like, after I got, like, a manager, and I was kind of like, I don't really know, like, how to, So it's nice to be able to, like, actually do shows now. My band has gotten, like, a tiny bit bigger, which is really cool. So I'm just doing a lot more shows. The EP will come out. I'll start making more music as well. I don't know when that will come out, but it will be it will be being made. And yeah, I think it's just gonna be, like, a lot of live Spider stuff, which is exciting. That's awesome. I think it's like a bag that I wanted to kind of settle in because, like, it's rock music. I should be doing it live, and I think I've been, like, sowing those seeds, and I'm ready to kind of, like, to do it.
I love that. I feel like you're going to really love our last question because because it's very on theme for all of us here, because the ethos of Name Three Songs is to empower fangirls, and we think it's very important to celebrate the things we love unapologetically. So, Spider, what are you a fangirl of?
Oh my god. This is gonna be so hard because I literally I love everything with, like, an insane amount of passion.
Like, okay, like, in the last, like, month, what have you been the most obsessed with out of everything?
In the last month, everything to do with, like, 90s female fronted rock bands, like Hole, Veruca Salt, Riot Girl, like Bikini Kill, Kathleen Hanna, like, the aesthetic, everything, the music, like, everything about it. I spend so much time on Pinterest. Just looking at, like, the era of it. I'm just so obsessed with it. Yeah. Like, my soul really lives there. And even just, like, how they dress, like, the style and everything. It was so, like, effortless and, like, dirty, but, like, cool, but, like, they literally were not trying either, and it was just like, wow.
I feel that.
I could literally go on like I'm obsessed with it.
This truly has been such a lovely conversation, so thank you, Spider, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun, honestly, and, like, this, like, podcast and everything you guys talk about is so needed, and it's so nice to have the conversation. It's pretty
cool. Thank you.
I could have talked to her for 7 more hours.
We love her deeply.
Like, if I'm honest, it was just so cool how much we all related to each other in so many ways, from, like, how much we care about feminism being involved in music and, like, being able to, you know, put those feelings into song that so many women, I think, have been afraid to put into song.
Absolutely.
I feel like I resonated so much with her when she was talking about how, when she's singing about her personal experience with, like, romantic relationships and stuff, and how it was, like, scary to put into music, being like, okay, I've like slept with someone, I don't know if I liked it, I don't know if this is for me. And I feel like a lot of girls go through that, and it feels like something that you don't hear about in song a lot. And I was like, this is such an interesting thing to be talking about and acknowledging and being like, yeah, that happened, so I'm gonna sing about it. And her being a little freaked out about being that honest in her music too. I don't know, just like how honest she was about everything was such like so incredible to hear.
Yeah, it was really cool to hear that from her. And also just how, just like by nature, she is a feminist, and by nature she cares about this stuff and is then just using music as an outlet to talk about it. And I think that's also kind of a theme we saw when we talked to Bloom Twins last week. If it's like, why wouldn't I talk about this? Like, I'm just expressing myself. These are just my thoughts and feelings. Like, they happen to be very feminist because that's what I care about. And I think just like owning that and not being afraid to own it and kind of leaning into like the Riot Girl movement of before is just very cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. And I love kind of like the feminist rage mixed in with the like Tumblr fangirl history. Like all of it is so beautiful because she's like, yeah, I love everything so unapologetically. This is how I grew up. This is what matters to me. Of course, I'm going to like put into my whole artistry, like what being a fangirl and part of fandom culture meant to me and like means to my fans and all of that stuff. And I'm like, oh, like it these two things, like they go together so perfectly.
I know. I was gonna say, it is really cool to be like, we also, you know, grew up on fandom Tumblr. Like, it's like we were experiencing the same things at different points in our lives. And now to see somebody who was directly influenced from that, then making music is like very cool.
Yeah. 100%.
So thanks for getting candid with us and Spider. This has been Sarah and Jenna from Name Three Songs.
And to get your pop culture fix, you can listen to new episodes of Name Three Songs podcast every Wednesday.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.